This is Living the RV Dream, episode 64 for Friday, July 20th, 2018.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and happy Friday, everybody. So happy to be here, so happy to be living in this era where I can have my own radio station, basically, or my own TV station with YouTube, and I'm so thankful that all of you choose to download my little MP3 file, and we get to hang out here every Friday. And remember, if you want to hang out live with me on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, I usually do, whenever bandwidth possible, I do a live video on YouTube where, I mean, you don't get to talk to me directly, but you get to you know, type in the chat, and I answer questions, and we interact, and I sing you a song at the end of the broadcast. It's a lot of fun. So, I'm stalling here because I want to apologize for last week. I missed the podcast, and to be honest, I hadn't prepared. I didn't have much to say. I've been busy learning. I've gone back to school. Not to school per se, but here at home, I'm learning a new video editing software, Adobe Premiere, and I'm learning also a new operating system because I have been a Mac guy. Macintosh for the past almost 10 years. I mean, the last Windows machine I owned was Windows Vista. That tells you something. So, and I'm still learning this Adobe Premiere. I'm starting to like it a lot. It is a very powerful video editing system. I think when I master it in the end, I'm going to be able to do a lot more than I did. With Final Cut, which used to be the previous software that I use. I still don't know nearly enough, but I have learned enough to put a video together, and whenever I get stuck, I just, you know, Google it, or there's always a YouTube video that you can find with instructions on how to do certain things. Although, and I do recommend it. It was recommended by a fellow YouTuber, Paul Charon, of the Motorhome Experiment. Check them out. Check their channel if you want. They're right now en route to Alaska. And here he recommended that I use lingda.com, which right now is part of LinkedIn. It's called LinkedIn Learning now. But since I had never used it, I got a free month of LinkedIn Learning. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can. And there's a course there. They have all kinds of courses. Of course, not a sponsor at all, but I think it is a pretty good product. Today's episode is going to be mostly mail, because I have so much mail, not only because I missed last week, but you guys seem to be sending a lot of mail, mostly through the feedback form in my website, travelingrobert.com. And remember, you can also talk to me by hitting that talk to me button on the top right corner. And that way you can send me a voice message, and I can even play it here on the podcast. Also, for the first time in like over a month, I sent a newsletter. You know, it's one of those things that you forget. It's one of those things that doesn't come as easy for me, I guess. Making a video comes kind of easy to me. Writing a song, it comes kind of easy to me. But writing a mail or even a blog post, sometimes it seems a little bit of a chore. But I still do it. I like to communicate with you guys, and I do write daily. I write the scripts, you know, for my videos, and I kind of write a little bit of a script for this podcast, because believe it or not, my mind is not as organized as to wing it here. But yeah, and at one point I even had the illusion of writing a book. That doesn't look like it's ever gonna happen. But if a book is what you want, check out John and Kathy Huggins' So You Want to Be an RVer. And that's an excellent book. It's almost like the Bible of RVing, if you know what I mean. And you can also go to their website, livingthervdream.com. By the way, somebody suggested, reminding me that maybe I should interview John and Kathy one of these days, and I have totally forgotten about it. I'm going to send them an email this week. And maybe I can have them here on the podcast. That would be quite a treat, quite an honor, because basically a little over a year ago, he stopped doing the podcast and he kind of gave it to me so I would continue. I would never be able to fill in his shoes, but you know, we do what we can here, and I try to entertain and give you a little bit of information, sometimes advice. I don't know about advice, but anyways, let's go to the mail. We have quite a few. This one is from Robert Polk, and he says, a Friday podcast question idea. Hi, Robert. I'm guessing that many of your followers are like me and are contemplating using a small SUV to pull a travel trailer. Can you share some more specifics associated with old Kia? For example, old Kia's engine size. Do you use a brake controller? Do you have any extra equipment such as heavy-duty engine or transmission oil cooler installed? What is old Kia's towing capacity versus the weight of your trailer? And from your considerable experience, anything else of importance to consider when using an SUV? Myself, I have a Jeep Cherokee 3.2 liters six-cylinder engine with a factory tow package rated for 4,500 pounds. Theoretically, I should be able to pull an Airstream Nest with about 500 pounds to spare. But who knows? I think us SUVers should all benefit from your insight. Thank you, Robert Polk from Leesburg, Virginia. And then, even the next message, Dave Van Hover. My wife and I are looking at the 1706 FB. We have a 2007 Kia Sorento like yours. How well does it tow your trailer? Do you have an equalizer hitch? Any tips on towing it that you can give us? Thanks. And I'll preface this by saying, in a perfect world, if you can afford something bigger, don't do as I do as I say, and get yourself a more capable tow vehicle. But you know what? At this point, I don't have the budget to buy a heavy truck, so that's why I'm still using my old Kia. Besides, it's my logo. Is, you know, I love that car. I've had her for 15 years. Oh, she's going to be 15. I should do a sweet 15 party now in January when old Kia turns 15. Should I? Or would that be tacky? I don't know. Anyways, yes, you are capable of towing it, but you have to be extremely conservative in the way you drive, you know. I'm probably not the safest vehicle on the highway, but I'm not unsafe because I take precautions. I don't speed. If there's a heavy wind, I don't drive at all. And especially going downhill, you have to take it slow. That being said, old Kia is it's one of the older Kias that is rear wheel drive. It has a huge, not huge, but a very capable differential back there. It's a 3.5 liter V6. And four-speed transmission, old style, you know, they usually can take more of a beating. And I haven't modified it in any way except that when I bought Minitini, and you can check out that video, I have a little bit of information on that video. It's an older video of mine. It's called Micromini Maiden Voyage, or just travel. Search for Traveling Robert Maiden Voyage on YouTube, and you can get to that. And what I got was a way, and at the time I was quite ignorant, actually, and I didn't even know that I needed all this stuff, but I did get a brake controller that they installed at the dealer. I had to replace with my the connector for a 7-pin connector, because old Kia had the old style 4-pin connector. I did get a heavy-duty hitch with a weight distribution and with this a sway control bar. And other than that, I haven't done any modifications to old Kia. It's just I have to modify my driving. You know, the first time that I tackled the Mount Eagle, which goes to the Cumberland Plateau, is right outside Chattanooga on your way to Nashville. I overheat it. You know, I had to stop on the side of the road because I overheated, and I didn't understand the concept that if you are going on a high grade, you know, 5-7% grade for miles, you know, at a time. Your vehicle, I don't care what you have, unless you have like a very nice heavy truck, your vehicle is gonna struggle towing uphill. Even Nathan and Marisa of Less Junk, More Journey, he's like, sometimes going uphill, you know, it might get hot a little bit. And that's what happens. That's why they usually have those long steep grades, the highway is wider. Like this Montegal Mountain, it has three lanes, you know, and the right lane is pretty much for semi trucks and folks like myself who are going to have to go 30, even down to 35 miles per hour, you know, 45, 40, you know, whatever speed is comfortable for your engine. So that being said, yeah, it is possible to tow right there at the edge, at the limit of your vehicle capabilities. You should avoid it if at all possible. In my case right now, I'm a poor YouTuber, so no, I cannot. But just try to get the best tow vehicle that you can afford to tow the trailer that you want to tow. And if necessary, go smaller and lighter, you know. I could very comfortably tow a casita, but I wanted to go a little bigger, and that's why I got my Winnebago Micro Mini 1706 FB, which actually has been great. I'm going to do a major maintenance now on old Kia, because in September, I'm going to take her up north, and I don't know how long it's going to be on this trip, but because sometimes part of the trip I'm going to have to do solo, and sometimes I get homesick and you know, make a beeline back to Florida. But we'll see. It's gonna be at least a month and a half up there. I'm gonna go to the Hershey RV show, as you all probably know if you've been listening to the podcast, and I hope to meet some of you guys. I'm gonna create a schedule of like places where I could potentially have meetups, and I'm probably gonna do events in my Facebook page. So if you use Facebook, and most people do, just go, you know, follow Traveling Robert. And that's where you can get most of the information anyways. Okay, Amir Jeromey. Hi, Robert. Just wanted to thank you for posting great videos of your travel. I find them very informative, calming, and very fun. Please keep posting great videos. I'm a huge fan, Amir. And that's another one. Another email that I have got in the past 2 weeks. From Roy. So you're heading to New England. We're trying to plan a trip October 12th to 21st to head north for the fall colors. We have a campsite reservation at Pigeon Forge, but I think we need to go further north to see the colors. What are your thoughts, Robert? But I did. Does anybody remember when I went? I think it was late October, but last year was a strange year. And fall came late, and the trees were kind of confused because it got cold and then it got warm again. And it was a strange year. And according to everybody I've heard, we didn't get the best fall colors last year. But in mid to late October, I was able to... I did the Blue Ridge Parkway, and I did the Great Smoky Mountains, and the fall colors were starting to come during that time of the year. You still had it was like a rainbow of greens and browns and reds. You know, not all the trees had turned yet. But one thing for sure, during that time of the year in Pigeon Forge, get ready for the crowds. It's going to be a traffic jam going into the Smoky Mountains for sure, or crossing into the Blue Ridge Parkway or into the Cherokee side. Going through Gatlinburg, I couldn't make it into Gatlinburg that one time at band camp. Never mind. Okay, another email here from Abdeli. Hi, Robert. Thanks for all, but I'm not American. I'm from Algeria, and I dream to visit USA. Sincerely, your videos are very interesting. You're a very good YouTuber. Bon continuation. Continuation. I guess he speaks French. But thank you so much, Abdeli. And as you can see, we have people from all countries in the world that watch the videos and listen to the podcast. In the end, it's the internet is an international medium. And I get this a lot when I do my live videos on Friday afternoons or evenings, 6 p.m., you know. I get people from Australia, which is morning time. I get a lot of people from Europe when it is midnight or 1 a.m. down there. And I get some people from Morocco, even Saudi Arabia and Dubai. I've gotten people from all over the world. So I'm really glad to be able to reach people from everywhere and inspire this type of, you know, nomadic idea that we all have to eventually full-time RV. I know some places in Asia doesn't exist at all. But here in North America, and surprisingly, I knew it existed, but I didn't know it was this widespread in Europe, and especially in the Nordic countries that I visited. RVing is very, very popular. Anyway, from Radu and Leanne. Hello, Robert, and thank you for the newsletter. Always a pleasure to hear news from you. Yes, this was a reply to my newsletter. We live in Fredericton, New Brunswick, close to the Bay of Fundy. Me and my wife, we really love to meet you when you come over in the fall. Just let us know how close you'll be, and we'll meet you in Bahaba. I think that's how you pronounce it, right? Bahaba, Acadia National Park in Maine, or around St. Andrews or St. John, New Brunswick. And I do intend to go to the Bay of Fundy, maybe even New Brunswick. I don't know if I'm going to take the ferry. I just saw a couple of videos from where the Russos and they've been into that area. But I definitely want to visit. That part of the trip is not set in stone yet. But it definitely early October, and I'm going to be up there as, I don't know, I hear some of the campgrounds start closing down at the end of December, so I'll be up there as long as I can stay. When winter pushes me south, that's when I'll start on the journey south. But we'll be, I'm from Florida, so I have no concept of winter or how seasonal things are up there, so we'll see. Oh, the email continues. We love your videos and looking forward to meet. We are in Romania right now visiting Dracula's castle. Best wishes to you and Ileana. And I thank you so much, Radu and Leanne. And I would love to visit Romania at some point. Of course, Dracula's castle and the capital city, Bucharest. It has one of the largest buildings in the world. It used to be the dictator's palace. But, okay, Roy Carlson, let us know when you are in the St. Augustine area. Sent from Roy's phone. And I was just there, as you saw in my latest video on the way south with my mom. But I'm going to be going to the area probably very early in September, probably even before Labor Day, so... So I'll announce it. I'll announce it because maybe we can have a North Florida meetup or something. I have another comment from Robert Stone. Hello, love the show. Question for you. Of all the places you have been to, is there a place that you would see yourself if you left Miami? If so, why? Best, Robert Stone. And leaving Miami is not a matter of if, but when. Yeah, it's getting increasingly stressful and expensive to live down here. And one of the areas that I would probably consider, and it's right now number one on the list, although that could change. First, I would love to live in the, not, you know, buy a piece of land in the northern Georgia mountains. That area could also be southern Tennessee, or it could be North Carolina. I mean, this that broad area, when the moment comes, I would have to do a lot more research. I want a full time a little bit before that, but it would be great to have a piece of land there, you know, to park my rig, if anything, if I don't even develop it, just to park my rig. And, you know, you're relatively close to the big city, to Atlanta. I would like to try to get as far south as possible without getting into an urban area. And the people are so nice in that. I haven't met a rude person or somebody. You know, everybody that I've met has been so, so great. And of course, Robert and Jessica of Exploring the Local Life, that's where I met them. And they the past year they spent quite a bit of time there. By the way, another YouTube channel that I follow, and they have some great advice about, you know, full time as a family. Robert and Jessica of exploring their local life. Anyways, another comment. I told you today was going to be the email episode. And this is Todd and Teresa from Southwest Washington State. Congratulations on 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. Ah, by the way, I forgot to mention, when was it? On Wednesday, no, on Tuesday night, I reached 50,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's quite the milestone. It's the halfway point to that coveted 100,000 subscribers when they send you a silver button that you can hang on your wall. But more than that, it's just milestone. It's baffling to me that 50,000 people have chosen to follow me on YouTube. But I love doing it. I love sharing my travel stories on videos. So I guess it shows. Anyways, I continue with the email. 50,000 subscribers on YouTube channel, well deserved. We have enjoyed all your fantastic videos and look forward to many more. You are a talented story. Oh, what's going to? I'm not very talented today, am I? You are a talented storyteller, and it's always a pleasure. We are heading out on the road as we retire in just a few weeks. We have actually been on the road. We've been full time on our Redwood 42-foot fifth wheel for the past 4 years, traveling as much as possible, but now we can finally be nomads. Our dreams are finally coming true. Your videos have been a huge inspiration in our planning over the years. We would love to have you share some of the resources and processes you use as you plan to visit locations, because you seem to cover it so thoroughly and we are able to see the highlights. Great food, great attractions, and history. We want to be able to enjoy our travels much like you do. Keep up the great work, Todd and Teresa, in Southwest Washington State. And I have a number of resources. The All Stays app seems to be the number one resource for campgrounds. But it also depends, you know, being a member of a club, especially now that you are full-timing, is I think a must. There is a Good Sam, which I'm an affiliate. If you want to go through my link, I'll put a link in the show notes. But also Thousand Trails, Passport America, those are clubs, basically, where you can either stay a number of nights for free or get a discount on your stay. But as of to find the places, there's a number of things that I do. There's a website, a little known website, if you want to go to a city or an attraction. It's called wikivoyage.com. And it looks almost the same as the Wikipedia, but it's about tourism and places. And it tells you how to get in, how to get out, what to see, where to eat, events, all kinds of stuff. I think it is an invaluable resource. There's also an app that I just discovered, and it seems to be pretty good. I don't know, I think I got a suggestion on my phone. It's called Google Trips. And then you select the place where you want to go, and it also gives you a map with all the attractions. And sometimes I like to see things in a map because I could, you know, do my own route, you know. I could plan my route instead of your just having a list of things to do where you don't really know, you know, how far away they are from each other and all that. There's another app and website. The app is not that great, but the website is. And it's roadtrippers.com. And what roadtrippers.com does, You give it your point of departure and your destination, and you can add waypoints along the way, and then you can select how many miles from your main route you want to select points of interest, and it will give you points of interest that are close to your route, and you can filter it, you know, by just tourist attractions or sporting venues or where to eat, places to stay. Road Trippers is a great resource as well. I'm trying to think here, what else do I use? Of course, out west, I used quite a bit freecampsites.net because it lists places where you can camp for free, basically, if you want to stay just a couple of nights, boondocking, or that kind of thing. I think I mentioned All Stays, also for dump stations, Sunny Dumps, although I think the app doesn't work anymore, but the website still does. And it seems to be pretty accurate. Sometimes I use Google. I search on Google Maps for campgrounds nearby if I don't know where to stay. For places to eat, there is a great book and a website. I don't know how updated it is, but it's called Road Food. And it lists, like, you know, local places that are not part of a chain, of a restaurant chain. And a lot of them are really, really good. Otherwise, just word of mouth. And I, especially since when I announce one of my trips, I get a lot of people, you know, sending me emails telling me do this, do that, and that's always appreciated. And that's also where I get, you know, some of the suggestions that I do. You know, and I do all. I am also one of those people that travels best when I do a lot of planning. And to me, it is a lot of fun. Planning a trip is like a pre-trip. It's like almost going on the trip, you know, looking at all the things that I can do and all the places that I can be. And of course, in the end, I only get to do 50% of what I planned. But that's the idea, you know. You plan a lot and you try to do as much as possible, especially when you're in tourist mode. Once you are in full-timing mode, which I'm not yet, then I would probably be able to do the whole plan. It would just take longer. But, I hope that sort of answered your questions. I'm sure I'm forgetting a bunch of resources here, but those are the main ones, basically. And even though it is expensive, I am also a fan of KUA. I'm a member. And the good thing with KUA, the app is really good. And it remembers who you are and your rig, so you don't have to enter the information every single time. And it's a very simple, you know, booking process. Sometimes a lot of campgrounds are still kind of old-fashioned, and you have to call and leave a message, and then they get back to you. But that's changing. Also, Thousand Trails has a very good booking system. And of course, Reserve America for state parks and national parks and all that. Another comment from Mark and Elena. Hello, Robert. We started watching your videos this week. Subscribed and appreciate your work. My wife is also from Cuba, Pinar del Rio. In the house. We are in California near Sacramento, and if you ever make it this way, there is much to see and do. And probably early next year, my wife and I, we are planning on going to the RTR. I don't know what kind of experience that's going to be, because this year I was in Quartzsite, but I was there right after the RTR when a lot of people had already left. So we'll see. I would like to cover the event and see how it is. And then from there, we'll probably go into California and through the Pacific Coast Highway going north. Or not. I mean, that trip is not planned at all yet. But eventually, sometime early next year, we'll probably make it to Sacramento. I hear there's a train museum that is fantastic. So I'm really looking forward to that. Now for the next destination of the week. Actually, there's no destination of the week. I was chatting with a friend of the family. He's from Norway, and he recommended a book. And I want to get your opinion. It's about this town in Ohio called Middletown, and there was a big steel production facility there that closed down. And it's a story that tells a story of how the town changed. And And he says that now, like, every house is for sale, like the house is, the town is abandoned. And I know that that's happened to a lot of places in the Rust Belt and the Midwest. So the book is called Hillbilly Elegy. I'm going to read it. A memoir of a family and culture in crisis. Oh my God. A family and culture in crisis. June 28, 2016 by J.D. Vance. So I'm gonna read the book and I'll tell you about it if it is good. Sometimes I like to read travel books and books about places. And this seems to be one of them. One of my favorite books, of course, Blue Highways. And maybe not next year, but the year after, I might follow in the footsteps of Blue Highways and do like a series and see what has changed since that book was written. I believe in the late 70s it was written. Anyways, now for Nomad News, what's clogging the tubes, if you will, the YouTubes. Stories of nomads that I follow on the interwebs. And I don't know if you remember him, but Adventure Van Man is fishing in Alaska. He's working on a fishing boat, and his van is in storage in Maine. Hopefully he comes back soon. And the average campers had to halt their AT through hike due to health issues, but you know, you have to hike your own hike. And maybe a through hike on the Appalachian Trail, it wasn't for them this time around. Camper Van Kevin, Pandemonium, The Sheldons, Wandering Jimmy, and a bunch of other people are at something called the Travelers Camp Fest in Colorado. Caravan Caroline is at Glacier National Park. And the other Caroline, the one with the RV life, is at White Horse on her way to Alaska. While Nathan and Marisa already made it to Fairbanks. Actually, they made it to the Denali National Park, and they took a plane ride. And that sounds like a lot of fun. Expensive fun. And Paul and Lorena of the Motorhome Experiment just got to the Hot Springs and the Signpost Forest. And man, you guys are kind of behind. But don't worry, because KYD just went to Dawson's Creek, not the mid-90s TV series, but Dawson's Creek and the Hot Spring, and yeah, you guys are really behind. So many people going to Alaska this year, and I'll make it there in a couple of years. I'll make it there someday. I went there once already and drove the Dalton Highway. Check out that video on my YouTube channel. I'm not sure how old Kia will fare on that trip. I would like to... I'll tell you about it when I do it. Anyway, the Mortons of Mortons on the Move are installing a composting toilet because, yeah, they seem to be the way to go these days. Not for me, thank you very much, but a lot of people are installing these composting toilets. And that's just a step up from pooping in a bucket, if you ask me. But anyway, Humble Road is also building a composting toilet, and he's building it in his awesome camper van that he's building from scratch. Follow that guy. He's got a lot of good ideas, except for the composting toilet. Anyways, Chris is still building that schoolie, but we haven't seen G in a while. And Jax Austin is also building a schoolie. He seems to be going faster, though. And schoolies are in fashion, too, for some reason. And last but not least, Nomadic Fanatic keeps doing his thing on the Dalton Highway. No, not the Dalton. The Lincoln Highway with his uniquely decorated Tioga. Have you guys seen that thing? And that's all the news that matters today. At least in the nomadic realm of things. Anyway, as a conclusion, I just want to remind you that this podcast and my videos are made possible in part by your support, by you guys sharing it. And if you can do me a favor, just if you listening to this on iTunes and you can go back and leave me a review, that helps people find the podcast, especially the podcast I'm not monetizing it at all. So you can support if you would like, and you don't have to really spend any money. Just if you follow one of my Amazon links, whatever you buy on Amazon, after doing that, I get a little bit of a commission. And if you feel, you know, that you like my music, you can also get my CD or my stickers or my t-shirts. All that is at travelingrobert.com/stickers. And I also have a Patreon page and all kinds of ways that you can help me continue doing these kinds of this podcast and all my videos and all that. And that's all I have for you today. I have a couple of interviews here that I'm planning to do in the next couple of episodes, so stay tuned for that. And I'm going to end today with the brand new tune that I composed. I mean, this is pre-release version, it's not even finished yet, but I want to share it with you guys. I think it has a little bit of that ABBA vibe, since I came up with it as I was driving on the roads of Sweden last month. And of course, until next Friday, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle, free in my RV. Oh, by the way, the tune is called tentatively Nordic Express.